Well, we're continuing our series, Live by the Spirit. And as we continue this series, I want to remind you of the words of Jesus in John 8, 31 and 32, where he says, if you continue, you got to keep going. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. See? We got to stay in the word. We got to continue on in the word if we really want to be Jesus' disciples. And then he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. This is the truth that sets free. It is the word of God. And I believe that you can have greater freedom in your life as we learn to really live by the Spirit. The life that we've been called to as a believer can never be reduced down to just some do's and don'ts. Do this, don't do that, be like this, don't be like that. No, it's much more than that as we live by the Spirit. We're supposed to be becoming more and more like Jesus. We follow Him. Amen. We sang it this morning. As a disciple of the Lord, we're following Him. Jesus said in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And so, yes, as we go through this study in the fruit of the Spirit and learning to live by the Spirit, we want to be more and more like our Savior. We can't ever do that on our own, but we're not on our own. No, we have the Holy Spirit who is at work in us. If you are a born-again child of God, you need to remember that you have the Holy Spirit. You've been born of the Spirit, and you are a new creation in Christ. You have a new nature, but to live that new nature out in your life, I tell you, we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide our lives. It's up to us to yield to Him, to stay in tune with Him, be sensitive to Him, and allow Him to guide us, not just when we have some big decision to make. I mean, I hope that as a Christian, that when you got a big decision to make, you pray about it first. Always pray about it first. But here's the thing. Even in the daily things of life, we need to be in prayer and we need to be looking to the Lord to lead and guide us and help us make the right choices. And when we do that, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, we see the fruit of the Spirit evidenced in our life. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Now, that's a word that's not used very much anymore. Most of the modern translations use the word patience here. I mean, it's just a much more commonly used word. But the primary definition for patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delays. I want to tell you what we're talking about in the fruit of the Spirit is more than that. There's a little boy in a department store. He's standing at the end of the escalator and he's just watching the handrail go around and around. And a man sees the little boy and he doesn't know what's going on. So he goes over and he asks the little boy, he says, are you lost? And the boy says, no, I'm just waiting for my gum to come back around. Patiently waiting for his gum to come back. I want you to know that's not what this fruit is about. It's not just about waiting. I have to tell you that patience in this regard is not my strength at all. I mean, anybody else have a problem with patience? Hurry up, get your hands up. Don't make me wait. Yeah. I don't like to wait. I've been this way ever since I was a little kid. I mean, waiting is boring. And I always think of other things that I could be doing. And I think that, you know, people that don't have a problem with waiting, they must not have anything to do, you know? Yeah. Some people are good at it. They don't have anything. Okay. I'm just being ugly right now, y'all. I'm going to get back to preaching here in a second. But when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we cannot water this down to just meaning that you're willing to wait. No, it's so much more than that. And that's why I'm going to stick with the New King James translation here, where it uses this word, long-suffering. We need to really understand what this fruit is about. Long-suffering, it means to suffer long. That's not a popular concept. I mean, there's not many people that would show up at church for a teaching on long suffering. You did, however unwittingly or willingly you just happened to be here today. But I just want you to know this is part of the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to get it. It certainly includes sometimes maybe waiting. But it's so much more than that. It is enduring, being willing to endure, being wronged. It is putting up with the faults and flaws of others. Long-suffering. It's really an unpopular word and an unpopular trait. And none of us wants to need this fruit. But here's the thing. We really do. We need it every day of our life. We need this fruit of long-suffering. Long-suffering. I don't even like the sound of that. And in some ways, it would be nice to just skip this one. But you can't pick and choose what parts of the Bible that you're going to live by. And you can't pick and choose which ones of the fruit that you're going to have in your life. Sometimes when we go on vacation, it's been a while, but I remember when we go on vacation, some of these places, they have a buffet for breakfast, and they have out all this fruit. Now, I love just about all fruit, but when I see pineapple and strawberries and watermelon, well, you can just have all the rest of it. I'm just going to have those three. You know what I'm saying? And when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, I want love and joy and peace. I mean, those are all wonderful to have in your life. Love and joy and peace. And then we get this, long-suffering. I just want the first three. You can have all the others. It doesn't work that way. Because when we really allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives, we have all of these in our life. But I really felt like the Lord showed me something about this long suffering. If you really have love, I'm talking about the love of God. You got this part of the fruit, love. Then long suffering isn't so hard. Because you love people. You really love people. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long. This is part of the Bible definition of what love is. It suffers long. So yeah, if you really love somebody, you can be long-suffering with them. Joy. If you really have joy in your life, I'm talking about joy, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not so hard to be long-suffering with people, because whatever wrongs may be done to you, whatever hard places you go through, whatever happens, you still have the joy of the Lord. When you've got peace, the peace of God, it's not so hard to be long-suffering, because no matter how much the turmoil there might be, whatever happens, still got peace. Whatever other people do, still got my peace. Do you let other people steal your peace and your joy? If you do, here's what you need. You need some long suffering. But I'm just telling you, when you have those three, it's not so hard to be long suffering. You know, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes the one that we like the least is probably the one that we need the most. And if we really get a hold of this morning, I want to tell you it's life-changing and it's relationship-changing. It'll free you up on the inside. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to bring this fruit in our life, it makes us, listen to me, it makes us so much more like Jesus. Because this is the way our Savior is. We sang about it this morning. He gave me chance after chance after chance. Is that the way the Lord is with you? He is me. He's so long-suffering with me. Chance after chance. And the more that we learn to have this in our life and live this out, the more that we're being like Jesus. Long-suffering. I tell you, we need it in our relationships with our family and our neighbors, our acquaintances, our co-workers, our enemies. They all have faults and flaws. They all make mistakes, and sometimes they wrong us. We need long-suffering for all of our relationships, for all people. Because there's only been one who's perfect. Amen? His name is Jesus. Everybody else, you're going to have some long-suffering. Something we need every day. In fact, you're probably going to have the opportunity to exercise some long-suffering before you even get home today. It might be on the drive home that you have to be long-suffering with a family member or maybe with another driver. Or you might have to have some long-suffering in the foyer at the children's checkout. Or you might even have to have some long-suffering during this sermon today. But we need to get this. We need to learn how this works and what this looks like in our life. I read a story about a little kindergarten boy, his class, they're getting ready to go out for recess, and so he's struggling to get his boots on, and the teacher sees this, and she goes over to help him, and she pulls and pushes and gets the boots to go on, and then he looks up at her, and he says, "They're on the wrong feet." She's like, "Oh my." So she pulls and pulls, and they're hard to get on and off. She pulls them back off, and then he says, or she puts them on the right feet, of course. And then he says, "These aren't my boots." So she's just like, "Ugh." She pulls and pulls and gets them back off. And he says, "These are my brother's boots. My mom makes me wear them." She's biting her tongue and she pushes and pulls and gets the boots back on. And she says, "Okay, now where are your mittens?" He looks up at her with this sweet face and he says, "I put them in the toes of my boots." You know what? I don't find it so hard to be long-suffering with the little one. In fact, I'm just going to be ugly. If you think that's hard, there's something wrong with you. But here's the thing. It can be really hard to be long-suffering when you've been wronged, when somebody's fault or flaw is just rubbing you the wrong way, a coworker, a friend, maybe even a brother or sister in Christ, much less somebody you consider to be an enemy. How do we do this? We need this long-suffering every day. And it doesn't come naturally. It's supernatural. You know, back to what I said earlier about waiting. See, some people are just good at waiting and it has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, all right? But what we're talking about here, this kind of long-suffering, it's a supernatural thing that the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us this long-suffering. You know, the time that we live in, suffering a wrong can be seen as a weakness. And the attitude of the day is, "I don't take nothing off nobody." Don't say amen. See, that attitude is so strong that people just buy into that, and the old nature loves that. And when I was a kid, I was a big John Wayne fan. I mean, he was like a hero to me. And I still love John Wayne movies. In his very last movie, The Shootist, John Wayne says, "I won't be wronged, I won't be insulted, I won't be laid a hand on, I don't do these things to other people, and I require the same from them." My old nature sure does love me some John Wayne mentality. You know what I'm saying? But John Wayne is not my hero anymore. Jesus is my hero, and Jesus is long-suffering, and he wants us to be long-suffering. If you look at Jesus and you listen to the things that he says, you got to get rid of those worldly attitudes. If we really want to be like Jesus and make a difference in this world, then we need to have this long-suffering in our life. And when you talk about being wronged or being mistreated in some way, during the time that Jesus walked this earth, the Jewish people were under Roman rule. The Romans had taken over their land, and they had changed everything, messed up their way of life, and they're taxing them. But one of the things that they hated the worst was that a Roman soldier at any time could pick you out and just randomly say, "You, carry my pack for a mile." And whoever they chose had to pick up their heavy pack and carry it for a mile. This soldier who represented the Roman Empire, they resented them so much. And oh, how they hated this law that they had to carry that pack. And Jesus comes along and he says in Matthew 5:41, "If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. How can you do that? I want to tell you, you need some long suffering, because he tells us not just to do what we have to do. Okay, well, I don't really want to do this, but I'll grit my teeth and I'm going to resent it, and then I'm going to be mad on the inside while I do this thing. While I put up with this. And what a bondage. What if we could get to the place where we were so full of long-suffering that when we were put upon, when we were mistreated, we could just say, "You know what? I'll do that, and I'm going to do even more." Y'all are way too quiet this morning. This is never preached. Let's just don't ever talk about long-suffering. I want you to know that our Savior is long-suffering, and he wants this to be a part of our life. And it is available to us by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to get this, because it will free you up. I'm not talking about gritting your teeth and enduring. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit doing a work in you and bringing this into your life, where you have the ability to suffer long, to endure wrongs and faults and flaws of others. The flesh just pushes back against this. But the Holy Spirit, he's long-suffering. You say, your flesh may not like it, but the Holy Spirit inside of you, he's long-suffering. He's able to endure a suffered wrong. And if we're sensitive to him, if we'll allow him to lead us and guide us, he'll show us how to live this out. It's a great strength. See, in the eyes of the world, suffering a wrong can just be seen as a weakness. But we need to understand that our God is long-suffering, and he has all the power. He can do anything, and yet he's long-suffering. He tells us this about himself in Exodus 34 and 6 when he's talking to Moses, and he says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth.'" This is what he says about himself, that he is long-suffering. Aren't you glad? I am so thankful for the long-suffering of my God. I need His grace and His mercy every day. And I say with the psalmist, Psalm 86 and 15, but You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. He's never short with me. He's long-suffering. He knows all my faults and flaws, my mistakes and my failures. And He lovingly puts up with me. How about you? I believe He wants us to be that way with others. In 1 Peter 3:20, it tells us that it was in the long-suffering of God that in the days of Noah, He waited and waited. And that's where that wait fits, by the way. He's waiting for people to repent. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible tells us, and it probably took him somewhere between 50 and 100 years to build that ark. And that whole entire time, this preacher of righteousness is telling people that they need to repent. And God was giving them every opportunity, but the day of judgment did come. And so many people today wonder why the Lord doesn't do something about all the wickedness in our world. Sometimes people doubt and question God because the scripture speaks of Him coming again and judgment coming, and yet they say nothing's happening. I mean, you know, if we were God, we would just go ahead and fry some people on the spot, right? I mean, wouldn't you just be really tempted to do? Listen, our God is long-suffering and He is waiting. He is waiting because He's given every opportunity for people to repent. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting for people to repent. He's given them a second chance, a third chance, chance after chance. That is the long-suffering of God. And yes, the day of judgment will come, but He is long-suffering. That long-suffering, it speaks of His mercy and His grace. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And yet somehow, our old nature, we like to treat people the way they deserve. We need this long-suffering so that we treat people the way our Savior would, the way He treats us. See, long-suffering, it's the ability to put up with people that you would like to put down. Long-suffering, it empowers us to walk in forgiveness. Not only to forgive the big things, but the stuff that happens every day. It enables us to release others from wrongs. And I tell you, if we're around people and their faults and flaws, it enables us to be able to lovingly endure. If we don't have this fruit in our life, we end up being short with people. We end up being grumpy and unforgiving and angry. And on the inside, we're all frustrated and unhappy. We really do need this. I think one of the ways you know you really have long suffering in your life is that you don't get annoyed and all irritated with people. See, I'm not talking about gritting your teeth. You know, I'm going to treat them right even though I don't want to. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit inside of you, leading, guiding your life, and showing you how you can be long-suffering and treat people the way that the Lord would. You know, I'm just speaking real frankly here. People can be so dumb. I mean, people can be so fickle and wishy-washy in their commitment to the Lord. In my old nature, I just want to say, what's the matter with you? But it's the kindness of God, the Bible tells us, that brings us to repentance. He loves us and He shows us long-suffering all the time. Galatians tells us the old nature, that old flesh, its way is to just be mad, to have hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Think about this. All of those go away if you have long suffering. Hatred, jealousy, discord, fits of rage, all gone. You want to be free? Here's truth that sets free. The Holy Spirit will produce long suffering in your life. That's our new nature. Some psychologists say that we're like an old bucket. And when you're wronged or you're offended or you're hurt in some way, that you have anger that starts to rise in that bucket. And you know, when your bucket starts getting pretty full of anger, that you just need to let some of it out. Just go ahead and, you know, release some of that anger. You need to express it, get it out of you. Now I want to tell you, you might feel a little better if you let somebody have it and just tell them how it is. But you still got a bucket full of anger and it's just going to fill right back up and you're still going to be miserable. But here's the bigger truth. If you're a born again child of God, you are not an old bucket. You are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. And we don't fill up with anger. We fill up with the Holy Spirit. And if we are filled with the Spirit, come on, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I talked about being full of the Spirit for 3 weeks. If you are full of the Spirit, this is what's coming out of you. Long suffering. You're not bubbling over with anger. No, you're free from that. A new creation, a child of God. Born of the Spirit, I tell you, you don't have to be frustrated and bent out of shape. Oh, they're getting on my nerves. It's time for us to get this long suffering. We really need it in our lives. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. This is who you are. The elect of God, holy and beloved. Realize who you are, child of God. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Wow. Long suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. You got a complaint against somebody? What do? The Bible says forgive them. You know what the world says? You got a complaint? Well, you just need to go tell them. You just need to go lay it out for them, tell them exactly how it is. And there's even some false teaching in the body of Christ where they're teaching that. You got a problem with somebody, you need to go tell them. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what it's talking about when it says leave your gift at the altar and go make things right with your brother. The Bible says very plainly, very clearly, you got a complaint against somebody, forgive them. Just as you have been forgiven. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. See, how can we do that? Long suffering. Without it, we just get bent out of shape all the time. Every time somebody messes up or somebody wrongs us. And I want to tell you, if we're going to make a difference in this world, we want to reach people. Amen. I mean, we want to make a difference in this world. We want to see lives changed. The scripture calls us Christ's ambassadors. Are we representing him? Are we letting people see who our Savior is and the way that we are? Or are we misrepresenting him? Because I want to tell you, there is a lot of mad, angry, mean Christians in this world, and they are turning people away from the Savior. How are they going to know this loving Savior who's full of long-suffering and mercy and grace if they're not seeing that in us? We as His people, His disciples, His followers, this is how we're called to live. And the Holy Spirit will produce this in our lives. Now, one of the reasons long-suffering can be difficult is, well, people that you're with all the time, you know, with your family and co-workers and even your brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, you have to live with their faults and flaws sometimes. They don't go away. I mean, we might try to change them, but we can't change people. God has to do that. So we pray for them, but you can't make people change when they get on your nerves or you think that they're wrong. Or see, it's almost easier to be long-suffering with a stranger because you don't have to suffer long with them, just a moment, right? I mean, I'm glad I'm never going to see you again. You know what I'm saying? But with your family, it can't be like that. How much more do we need long-suffering with those that we're close to? You go home and those in your home, you're going to live with their faults and their flaws. Now, you can be frustrated and bent out of shape all the time with their faults and their flaws, or you can have this in your life, this long-suffering. Easy for me to say, because everybody knows how easy I have it with Carmen. I mean, she's just pretty much perfect, but I will tell you one fault that she has. She hides my stuff from me all the time. And I say, what did you do with this? She says, how do you know I did something with it? I say, because we both know if I had it, it would be right here in the middle of the floor. So what did you do with it? Almost 44 years of long-suffering. And y'all are thinking, yeah, poor Carmen. I know, right? Yes, sometimes with family, there's a lot of long-suffering, but also with church family. How we need this in the body of Christ, because I tell you, it's amazing how people get offended or something they don't like, something they get bent out of shape about this or that, and they're ready to just part ways with their brothers and sisters. In fact, there's a lot of, it's a big thing in our world today, and I'm not knocking big churches, okay, but a lot of times in the mega church, people just come and go for the service. They don't have any real relationships with other people. That's not the way the body's supposed to be. But you see, a lot of people choose that because then if you get close to people, then you got to put up with their faults and flaws and just rather not. We need this fruit in our life. Every one of us, we need to learn what it is to be long-suffering. And the Holy Spirit will show you how to do this. I want to say this very clearly. I want to make a clarification in regard to long-suffering with family. When I say we should be long-suffering with our family, I'm not talking about physical abuse. No one should suffer and put up with some kind of physical abuse. But when it comes to the faults and flaws that we daily have in our life, mistakes that are made, oh, how we just need to be long-suffering with one another. Long-suffering is the key to a great relationship with your kids. Another clarification. That doesn't mean that you don't discipline them and correct them. You do that because you love them. But you also have to have long-suffering if you're going to have a good relationship with your kids or with your spouse or with your coworkers or with your neighbors. Because guess what? They all have faults and flaws. How we need this. We need to learn to be like our Savior. He is long-suffering. You know, one of the things that makes us this long-suffering a real struggle is it violates our sense of justice. I mean, if someone is doing wrong, they have to pay. That makes sense to me, right? Can't let them get away with it. Matthew 5, 38 and 39, you've heard, this is Jesus, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And yes, we like that kind of justice. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right, turn to him the other also. Now, how many of you believe that? Four. I'm going to read it to you again. No, I'm not going to, but Jesus said this. Do we really think we can call him Lord and just ignore the things that he says? And I don't know how often you get slapped on the cheek. Listen, it's the principle. When somebody wrongs you, somebody insults you, what are you going to do? The Savior says, turn the other cheek. This is not at all like the world. And this is not at all like carnal Christianity. This is what Jesus teaches. And how can we possibly do this? The Holy Spirit on the inside of us. You know, we think, oh, but they have to pay. Listen, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Vengeance is mine. Don't take something that belongs to God. Sometimes, you know, I've thought, well, Lord, it's not right for you to just have all the fun. I want to help. I mean, here's a work of the Lord some of us could really get into, right? But here's the thing. We need to trust the Lord with making things right. I think this is one of the most difficult parts of the fruit of the Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit working in us. Paul prayed for the Colossians. Pray. Paul prayed for the Colossians that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. He said that you may walk worthy of the Lord. We want to live our lives in a way that glorifies God and honors him, not that brings reproach on him. He said fully pleasing him. That is our concern, is to please the Lord, not to try to please ourselves like the world, but to please him. Being fruitful in every good work. You can't bear lasting fruit if you're a carnal Christian. We got to be filled with the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work through us always. And increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, this is something that we're all learning and growing in. We don't have it all figured out. We're increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, strengthened by his glorious power. You see, he's well able to give you the strength, the power that you need so that you can be long-suffering, for all patience and long-suffering. And I love the very last part, with joy. With joy, not begrudgingly, it's not so hard, but with joy we do this. It sets you free when you have this fruit in your life. Without it, we still can be, even if it doesn't show on the outside, we can be bitter, bent out of shape, upset, resentful, critical, judgmental. That's not the way to live. There's a better way to live. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. That's not it. No, this abundant life, it is a life full of joy. And I'm telling you, long suffering will help you get free from all of that. All the things that happen in life, and the resentment and the ill will, and it blocks your joy. Get free. Get free. Truth sets free. The fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.